sing New Name and Glory, we will sing all three verses. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. Sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not the God's angry frown. And I saw that my name was written down. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. Forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, all the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for bringing us all here safely this evening. I pray for those that are still on their way that they would get here safe. And if anyone comes in tonight or is listening this evening that's not saved, that you would please save them. I pray that you would please fill Pastor with the Holy Spirit as he preaches. Open our hearts and minds to your word that we would hear what you have for us. I do pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go ahead and turn off the mics and get everything straight. We're going to fire you back there if you don't quit paying you. Amen. Good to see you here. May God bless you for your faithfulness to church tonight. You don't say enough about it. I'm always harping on being in church every time the doors open. And many of you are. God bless you for it. Amen. Amen. You don't want to miss something. Acts chapter 11 in your Bibles. Acts chapter 11. I want to read a few verses in a familiar passage of Scripture. In this portion of Scripture, the Bible says they were called Christians at Antioch. The word Christian, we use that. That's kind of a name we use. We call ourselves Christians. But actually, in the Bible, we are called, God calls us, the Lord calls us disciples more. So something to think about. That's another message. But they're called Christians at Antioch. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And they were witnesses unto him. But it wasn't just to be in Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. It was supposed to be world missions. And they were supposed to go tell everybody, and they were supposed to branch out. Well, that didn't happen. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, a man named Saul came to town and tore things up. And they were scattered. It's amazing their reaction. I never cease to be amazed at the reaction of these people. It just doesn't fit, really. It amazes me what they did. And so I want to look at this portion of Scripture, and I want to bring out a thought to you. You know, we're saved by grace. Amen. Through faith in Lord Jesus Christ. We deserve hell. We live in an entitled world, an entitled country, an entitled state and city and community. We think somebody owes us something, but we don't deserve anything but hell. And never forget that. Never forget the day that God saved you. Amen. Rehearse that every morning. Hit the floor and thank Him for saving you. Let your mind go back to the day He saved you, and let the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, wondering where you would be if you didn't know Jesus. Amen? But in Acts chapter 11, and I want to look at verse 19. If you're there, say word. Word, man. Amen? Huh? Word. It says there in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only." So they had been scattered, but they were just speaking to their own countrymen. Notice what takes place here. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene." Now Cyprus was a Greek island there. Cyrene was southwest on the tippy top of Africa, and it was a Greek community. They practiced Greek customs. And maybe they were having a Greek vacation to Cyprus, I don't know. But it says when they were come to Antioch, they weren't in Cyprus, I'm sorry, they were in Antioch, "spake unto the Grecians, preaching" who? "The Lord Jesus. Amen. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem." That's the church they were out of. That was their hometown. And it says, "And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came," now look at this verse, "and had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Now I want us to think tonight about a picture perfect grace. A picture perfect grace. What does grace look like in action? We're saved by grace, but what does it look like in action? Now these people were scattered, and the Bible says the word came to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This man named Barnabas was from Jerusalem. Barnabas was a valuable asset to his home church. He was an encourager. He was a giver. He was a man of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he came and saw these Jews that were at Antioch, and they were doing the work of the Lord, and they were not having a pity party. They were not having a case of depressing bitterness. They were not mad at God. They were allowing God to work through them. Amen. Work through them. They were away from home, but they were doing what God wanted them to do. He had seen this in his hometown before, but hadn't seen it away from Jerusalem. Can you imagine a missionary takes his family, goes on deputation and raises money to go to a foreign field, gets to a foreign field, knows nobody, has learned a language, And he goes out, and the first person that he talks to and sees them saved. What can you imagine the joy? I mean, their heart has to leap. Amen? I heard a story today of a fellow that went to a village in a foreign country, and it was a third world, and it was back in the bush, and a missionary said to this fella, he was high up in the hierarchy there of the village, he says, I want to give you a Bible. And he says, well, and he was smoking. That's so he rolled it. He said, well, I'm just going to rip the pages out and roll up and smoke it. He said, well, do me a favor. When every page you take out, he said, I want you, before you smoke it, read it. So he went back several years later, and the village, there was a difference in the village. As a matter of fact, the man who he gave the Bible to, God changed his heart. He was actually the pastor of the church in that village. He said, what happened? He said, well, I smoked Matthew. He said, I smoked Mark. He said, I smoked Luke. He said, but John smoked me. You know, God can change people by His grace. Amen? I want you to notice some things very simply tonight, and I want to encourage you to listen, write them down. I want you to notice, first of all, what caused Barnabas to see God's grace in these people? What was the picture of grace? And by the way, this was not a put-on. This was for real. And I want you to notice, first of all, in our scripture it says they preached the Lord Jesus. They preached the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me what people preach today. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in churches. I think every message, the major theme should be Jesus Christ, since it's the major theme of the Bible. He is the reality of what we are and what we do, what we will be and what we will have. He has bridged the gap between us and God. He has appeased God's wrath on the sinner. He is the one who died on the cross and shed His blood. He is the one that's making intercession for us now. He was there at creation. He was there through the Old Testament. He came on this earth. He was born of a virgin. He stayed here, and he took the beating, the cat of nine tails and the crown of thorns, and he died on the cross. He rose again, and he's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. He should be the main thought. Every message should include Jesus Christ. It should start with Jesus Christ and include Jesus Christ and end with Jesus Christ. They preached Jesus Christ. What a grace. Jesus must be the main topic. Anything less than preaching Jesus is a breach to preach. It is. It is. Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. I like in Acts chapter 17 and verse 3, Paul says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus Christ, whom I preach unto you, or Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. They preach Christ. They didn't preach gloom, despair, and agony on me. They didn't preach, we hate Saul, we hate Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul would be showing up here in a minute. Barnabas would call for Paul. They didn't sit there and say, well, you know, I used to go to church, but you know, something happened. I got mad at the preacher. Or the deacon made me mad. Or probably in our case, the trustee made me mad. Amen. And so they preached Christ. He saw the grace of God. He saw the picture of grace, the grace of God. He didn't see people preaching Christ. He saw the grace of God through people. See? Now, I want you to notice number two. And this is incredible. They had the hand of God on them. Now, we read that statement, but that's a heavy statement. Have you ever looked throughout the Old Testament how God fought the battles for the Israelites? The Bible says the hand of God was on them and he was whooping them. Huh? You remember Gideon? Remember Gideon? Those guys, 300 guys stood there with pitchers and candles and trumpets and they stood there and watched those people kill themselves. Well, who was that? That was God. God. The hand of God. Notice this verse, Joshua 4:24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God. Isaiah 41:20 says this, that they may see and know and consider and understand together, listen to this, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Then in Luke 1:66 it says, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, talking about John the Baptist, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of God was on these people at Antioch. They were the people. You got to understand this. This was a momentous occasion in history of the gospel going forth. It was not to the Jews now. It was also to the Greeks. That meant it started and it came to you and I. We're Gentiles too. And they stopped. They didn't just preach to their countrymen. I don't know why they didn't just branch out before. They might have been afraid. But hey, they did. They did. They preached gospel. And let me just tell you something. It doesn't matter who you talk to about the Lord. Other people are going to hear. I was in a house one time, bus route. The bus ministry, a lot of fun. And I was in a house. And you get into a house sometimes and you start talking to mom and dad. And there's the little ones come out. And they're all over the place. Right? And I started talking to mom and dad. And I asked them if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And they said no. And I shared the Bible with them, how that they could believe and call. And I said, would you like to call? And we bowed our heads and I helped them with the prayer. And when I started the prayer, I said, Dear Jesus. And all the kids and the mom, everybody said, Dear Jesus. So what'd you do? About stopped. I mean, I said, whoa, this is good. Huh? And that wasn't me. That was the hand of the Lord. I went over to Christian's house one day with Brother Sidler. And Naomi was there too, wasn't she? Remember that? And Naomi came and sat on the side there and talked to his mom and dad and said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as Savior? And started leading them in the sinner's prayer. And Naomi was praying out loud. I went, so what's that? That's the hand of God. Hey, we need the hand of God on us. We can't do it ourselves. Only God can do what he does if we let him. We want the hand. It says the hand of God was on them. Does it say, well, they were popular, or they had the gift of gab, or they had been saved so many years, or this person was this and this? It didn't say. It just said the hand of God. The hand of God. That's the same hand that reached down and scooped the clay out of the ground and fashioned man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the same. The hand of God is the same one that said, peace be still, and still the storm. The hand of God. That's the same God that had his hand when this nation started. And I pray he still has his hand here. We should pray that every day. But these people had the hand of God on them. It's an amazing experience when the hand of God is on a human being. I had the wonderful, wonderful privilege of knowing Dr. Lee Robertson. And Dr. Lee Robertson was a gray hair gentleman, wore a double-breasted suit, and preached with a thunderous voice. Simple messages, he would say Sunday night, he'd say, okay, Sunday night, I'm going to tell you, he said one time, I'm going to tell you why Richard Nixon is president of the United States. And we come there, we want to hear, and we never heard about Richard Nixon. We came and we heard about Jesus.
Amen.
He turned it around some way. He was my friend. He was my pastor. He preached for me. I knew him personally. I got to spend time with him. And here's the thing that impressed me more than anything. God's hand was on him.
Amen.
Wasn't a put on. He wasn't perfect. But God's hand was on him. God's hand was on him. When he started with Tennessee Temple University, and there are thousands and thousands of people, missionaries and pastors out in the world, literally serving God, that went to Tennessee Temple University. It's gone now, but it started out, and he would not build a building unless not use a building until it was paid for. And usually when it was finished, it was paid for, and he took the key and turned it and opened up and used it. You say, what's that? That's the hand of God. The hand of God on him. His daughter, Joy, he went away to preach. His wife called him and said, Joy is sick. She's at the hospital. And just minutes later, the call came that she had passed away. So what did he do? Well, he started a place called Camp Joy, where people went, where kids went every year, every summer for free. And hundreds of thousands of kids were saved at Camp Joy. Out of that tragedy came joy. Amen? And so the hand of God was on him, these people. I want you to notice the picture perfect grace that Barnabas saw was the Lord Jesus Christ was preached. The hand of God was on them. And then I want you to notice what it says there. They saw many believe. They saw many believe. Now let me caution you there. Here's what happened. They heard the gospel, and they believed the gospel. All right? Now, make no mistake, that's the first step. That's the understanding. That's the believing. The Bible says in James, in chapter 2 and verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. He says, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Are they saved? No, they're not. As he spake these words, many believed on him, John 8 and verse 30. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The wonderful thing about this point is this, that they heard the gospel. They heard that Jesus could save them, and they understood that. The hand of God was on these people from Jerusalem was such that they made sure they covered the teaching. They didn't skip. They didn't water it down. I like the way Peter put it in Acts. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. I mean, he wasn't running for political office. He said, you're the ones that killed him. You see, the gospel doesn't start out very good. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. I've told you about the lady that we went by to see. You've heard this before. She had come to church, and she was getting her groceries in, her kids, and two of us went, and we said, well, we'll help you with your groceries. We want to come in and follow up with you. Oh, okay. So we let her put her groceries away. We sat down, and in a few short minutes, she bowed her head, and we were praying. And Elijah, I said, Dear Lord. And she said, Dear Lord. And I said, I know I'm a sinner. She said, I know I'm a sinner. And because of that sin, I'm condemned to hell. Crickets. So being the spiritual wise man I was, I went. She had her eyes looking at me just like this. She said, I never realized I was going to hell. I said, you are without Christ. And she said, and because of that sin, I'm condemned to hell. And she received Christ.
Amen.
You see, folks, it's important that we share the gospel completely. We don't water it down. Oh, come on to church, you'll be a Christian. Oh, tithe, you'll be a Christian. Oh, turn over a new leaf, you'll be a Christian. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're a sinner, you're condemned. Amen. Amen. And so many believe. Let me say this. The grace of God was picture perfect to Barnabas because they taught them and they believed. But let me finish by saying this. It says they saw many turn to the Lord. They saw many turn to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 35. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. To stop short of calling on Jesus for salvation, we'll send you to hell. There's no stop. The Bible teaches us to believe and call. And I'm convinced there's a lot of people in America that know the gospel. They've heard it. And they can rehearse it. But what a tragedy it is going to be when people stand at the great white throne judgment and they said, I believed it. But Jesus says, you never called. Depart from me, I never knew you. And that's going to be a sad thing. You have family members that know the gospel. You have friends that know the gospel. Pray they call.
Amen.
Pray they call. Pray they call. Fast and pray. Encourage them. Shed tears. Pray to God. Beg God. And listen, I tell you, my grandfather, my Papa Perry, was in the dictionary under Webster's grandfather. That's where my Papa Perry picture should be. He didn't have any boys, so me and Mike were his guys. And so, I mean, he would take us, Papa would take us out and hunting. We go out hunting. I mean, we were 10 and 12, and he always had a dealer car from the Pontiac Buick dealer. So at lunchtime, he let us drive the car out on the country roads, 12-year-olds, driving on the country roads. He'd take us out hunting, and he loved us. He loved us. We'd get ready to go home. We lived out of town. We lived in Elkton for a while, but we moved. We'd get ready to leave, and he'd leave. And I'd say, Mom, where's Papa going? He said, well, he just needs to go somewhere. And we get down the road and said, you know, he just doesn't want to say goodbye to you kids. He loves you so much. And we'd be in church, tugging on Pop-Up's coat. Pop-Up, would you get saved, please? And he'd smile, wouldn't say anything. But a faithful member of a local church in Elkton went by to see my Pop-Up one day. And he was gloriously saved.
Amen.
He called on the Lord. And grace came into my Pop-Up's life. He wanted to talk to us about the Bible when we came to see him. He went to church with us. And I'm going to see my Pop-Up in heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to see my Pop-Up in heaven. Listen, Barnabas came, and I don't know what Barnabas thought when he left to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what they said. Something's happening up there. I don't know what's happening, but it's happening. So he goes. And he gets there, and there's people getting saved. So many people getting saved that he had to call Paul. He said, hey, we need you up here. We got to do some discipling. And what a day. What the church at Antioch, I'll tell you what, we're going to get to talk to some of those members. But what a testimony of God's grace. Now, let me just say, That is not a unique happening. That is not. They don't have a corner on God's grace, because when God saved you, He saved you by His grace. When He started this church was started by God's grace, and by His grace, this church has lasted for over 50 years, in spite of us.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Now here's the question. Here's the question. Are you and I preaching Jesus?
Amen.
Are we telling folks about Jesus? Is the hand of God on us? Is the hand of God on your life? I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm done with that. I'm done with pep rallies and cotton candy religion. I like something real.
Amen.
I like it real. I don't like imitation. See the hand of God move. Lauren got baptized last week and the week before. Lauren's been on a journey. Little Lauren's been on a journey. She's had some obstacles. But that little girl got baptized, and she wants God on her life. You say, what is that? That's the hand of God. That's the hand of God. Many of you have seen the hand of God move. It doesn't have to be something intermittent. God's hand can be on you in such a way that He moves you, moves your heart, and moves those around you. People around you know when God's hand's on you. They know a faker. They know a faker. Do you see people believing and receiving Jesus Christ? If you sow the seed, if you tell people about Jesus enough, you are going to see people believe and call. You're going to see that. And let me tell you something, that's the most fun in the world.
Amen.
It's fun. I mean, it may not sound too theological, but it's fun to see people saved.
Amen.
Every time somebody gets saved, Brother Walt, I just can't believe it.
Right, yeah.
I just can't believe it. You say, well, that's what God does. Yeah, I know that's what God does, but I still can't believe it.
Amen.
It just every time it happens, it just throws me for a loop.
Amen.
I just can't get over it. I just think. You know what? You know why? Because every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle.
It is.
It's a miracle. Now, where are you tonight? Are you a picture of God's grace? Not just your salvation, but your life.
Amen.
I would hope that people would come to this church and see and be glad for God's grace at Faith Independent. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. You say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Nobody's looking around. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. If I died, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know. There's no doubt. Could you slip your hand up as a testimony? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I can't say that I'm saved. And I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about catechism. I'm not talking about baptism. But I'm saying, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? According to the Bible, if you stood before Christ and He said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And if you couldn't say to the affirmative that you know Him, I want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I could not raise my hand with the others, but if I know my heart, I want to go to heaven when I die. Nobody will embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up and put it back down. I couldn't raise my hand with the others, but I'll raise it now. You're a Christian. Is the grace of God on you? If it's not, whatever is on you, let's get rid of it. And let's ask the hand of God to be on our lives, on our families, on our church. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus, come on down and let somebody show you how to be saved. If you want God's hand on you, if you want God's hand on you, hand on your work, hand on your family, get alone with Him. Thank you. Thank you, BC. Let's have the ushers come and receive offering. Let's pray, Lord, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, after the offering, Brother Tim's going to give us some prayer requests. But here's what I want to do. I want all the gentlemen to move to the back right. I want all the ladies to move up here. We're going to let him give us the prayer requests. Mona, you head up the ladies. Any other prayer requests? And ladies, I'm going to let you pray together tonight. And we'll be dismissed after you pray. And then the fellas will be back in the back, okay? All right. So if you guys want to move to the back, and then Brother Tim, come on with the prayer requests. And we'll share those. And then after that, we'll pray together amongst the ladies and the men. And ladies, if you have any other prayer requests you want to share with each other, that'll be a good time to do that. Come on, Brother Tim.
Good evening, everybody. Let's be praying for all of our bereaved requests, all of our bereaved families that have lost loved ones. Pray for God's strength and comfort on them. Be lifting them up. Pray for all of the folks in church that have unspoken requests. Does anybody have an unspoken request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Okay. It's unspoken, of course. All right. Amen. We'll lift you up in prayer. Anybody else have one? Okay, but be praying for all of them. Pray for Brother Sam Abbott as he's over in the Philippines, and pray for God's traveling mercies on him, and pray for God to use him and work through him as he witnesses to his family and his friend. He's coming home tomorrow night. We'll pray for him as to traveling mercies as he comes home. And I pray over all the tracts that he's handed out, that they'll work people's hearts. Continue to pray for Sister Anita's sister, who's recovering from hip replacement surgery, and she's home now. So be lifting her up, and she's doing well. Let's lift her up in prayer. Pray for Kathy DeGennaro. Pastor, has anybody heard anything about the results from her biopsy? So be lifting her up. She had a biopsy for spots on her lungs. So be praying for her. Pray for Chris's mom, Leslie Simpkins, who's recovering from surgery that she had in July. And she's doing pretty well. Pray for the family as they are in a hotel now and waiting for their house to get fixed from the fire that they had. So be lifting them up in prayer. And pray for Chris's wife Brenda's parents, whose house suffered damage to the roof the storm that came through a week or so ago. So be praying that they will get that fixed fast. Pray for Sister Hazel Osmond. Pray for her health and pray as she struggles with the loss of her sister. Be lifting her up. Just pray and pray for Mona as she takes care of her mom. That God will strengthen her and give her wisdom. And she's working from home this summer. So be lifting her up in prayer. Pray for Sister Amira's grandfather's health, Mr. Marshall. Be lifting him up, that God would heal him. Continue to pray for Brother Keys, that God would strengthen him and help him as he, with his walking, and that medicine would continue to work. And pray for his wife's health, that she would... That God would strengthen her as she cares for her husband. Pray for Brother Mark Trahan. Pray for his health, that diabetes, and he's been spared. He doesn't have to do dialysis now, but just pray that God would heal him. Pray for Brother Larry Dotson, who's getting ready to have surgery on his hand, and pray that would go well, and God would heal him. And it's good to see Brother Elijah and Brother Larry here tonight. Amen. Amen. Good to have you guys. That's an answer to prayer. Amen. Praise God. He always answers prayer. Pray for Pastor's health and wisdom as he Shepherd's Church, and pray for Miss Creed's health. She's been having migraines, so be praying, lifting her up in prayer. And pray for Miss Creed's friend, Babe Rivas, who has recurring UTIs. Be lifting her up in prayer. She's in a lot of pain, so be praying that doctors would be able to get that under control and get her some relief. Pray for Brother Pat Shanahan, who's recovering from a stroke. Be lifting him up in prayer, and he's got a lot on him, and his wife is awaiting kidney transplant surgery. So be praying that they would be able to get a donor for that, and just pray for Brother Pat's health as well. And just continue to pray for Brother Russ, who is suffering from TMJ, that God would heal him. Pray for our general requests, our mission commitments, our nation, our church family, bus ministry, our Master Club kids and teens. Praise the Lord, the teens are here tonight. Amen. You won't be teens much longer. You're getting older. Amen. Pray for Sunday school, or our folks recently saved, our discipleship program, and our next outreach, which is going to be September. Amen. Oh, okay. All right. Amen. Well, we were able to knock on 39 doors, and we had 8 no solicitings that we're going to have to reach through mail. So, praise the Lord. Just pray over those contacts that we had. Pray for our sister churches around the country and world, our pastors, churches without pastors, God to call preachers. Pray for the upcoming preachers' conference at the end of this month. And January 2024. Pray for our first responders, our military and nurses, doctors, and Nigerian political situation. And are there any additional requests? Or are we just going to go ahead and go into prayer, Pastor? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Amen. Friday. Amen. Amen. That's an answer to prayer. His daughter. What was his name again?
Richard
DeShalters. Okay. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Do you want to pray over this, or?